This is Kids These Days.
Hi, I'm Shanna Sheehy, and this is Kids These Days. Kids These Days is a weekly conversation about youth, families, and the community as a whole in South Central Alaska. Thanks for joining us today. This week, we're talking about the weather. Well, not really about the weather, but we are noticing some changes, like the sweet smell of fallen leaves in the yard, and the cold edge in the morning air. And, well, we all know it's coming. Can you say termination dust? So what's to be done when it gets cold outside? Head indoors and stream Netflix all winter? That is an option, but there are lots of other things people with kids, large and small, can do to be active and healthy during this time. I'm joined today by two guests in the studio. Both know a lot about what's going on in our community. They'll share with us and answer your calls. We'll also get out ourselves this hour on Kids These Days as reporter Jessica Cochran takes us around town to a few fun places kids congregate, like this one.
Right now we're standing in the Imaginarium Discovery Center. There are more than 80 exhibits in here having to do with science, and all of them have some sort of hands-on component. It's a very kid-friendly, family-friendly space.
We'll be hearing about these places throughout the program. Kids These Days producer Sarah Gonzalez talks to Service High Schoolers about what teens are doing. And we have our first contribution from AK On The Go mom, Erin Kirkland. She shares her advice about how to continue to get outdoors despite snow and colder temperatures. All that and more on Kids These Days this hour. But first this. Kids These Days aims to be a community conversation, one that continues after the show airs on this station. We're online anytime at kidsthesedays.org. Last week, we talked about the empty nest on Kids These Days, and you, the Kids These Days community, kept that conversation going. Many parents of young adults shared their feelings and experiences after the show aired. We thank you for those messages, and we posted those comments under the Discuss section on our website, and you can read those there now. When you register as a user at kidsthesedays.org, you can get involved in what's being said by posting your own comments and, again, continuing this community-wide conversation. One listener called in to let us know that he did not appreciate some of the ideas put forward last time by UAA psychology professor Claudia Lampman. She talked with Kids These Days about the increasing phenomenon of delayed adulthood. Kids These Days felt Abram Goodstein's 20-something perspective on this was important. So here he is.
Hello, KTD. My wife and I are perfect examples for this demographic of 20-somethings that are not growing up. We are 26, and we live with my parents here in Anchorage. Dr. Lampman, in the previous episode, presented my demographic as overconfident and entitled. Perhaps many of my 20-something peers are those things, but many of us are not. Dr. Lampman and the other people on your show failed to look at other factors that prevent 20-somethings from reaching these adult milestones. I can think of two examples preventing us from growing up, the first one being the Great Recession. Many members of the older generation, including the baby boomers, lost a lot of their retirement money or were fired in the Great Recession and find themselves forced to work much longer than they intended. This clogs up employment because not only are my 20-something peers competing directly for them with work, but there's also no upward mobility for 20-somethings who find work, since the older generations are keeping their positions filled. Second, there's also an education inflation for many employment positions. Jobs that just required a high school diploma a few decades ago now requires a college degree, and so on and so forth. So my generation has to spend more time and more money to get the same jobs, which are less available than my parents did when they were my age. So my wife and I both moved into our apartment right after we graduated. We did not easily find work, and even though I earned one college degree and my wife earned two, I ended up employed moving boxes at a warehouse, and she was employed as a receptionist at a chiropractic office. We weren't in debt, and we weren't relying on our parents, but for many months, we were forced to choose rent over food. We couldn't save any money, and in 2 years, our conditions never improved. In order to make our lives better, we moved into my parents' home. Although we were living off of their generosity, my wife has the time to go back to school, and I have the resources to actually save money. So please stop overgeneralizing all of us as narcissistic, overconfident, or entitled, and please start looking at the myriad of outside factors that contribute to our failure to launch or delay our adulthood. Many of the reasons contributing to my generation's failure to grow up are outside of our control.
That was KTD listener Abram Goodstein. This is Kids These Days, and this is where the conversation about issues that concern South Central families and community members starts. So keep that conversation going by giving your 2 cents. Write to us at mail@kidsthesedays.org or use the contact form on our website. And today on Kids These Days, the conversation is all about what's available in our community to keep ourselves, our kids, and our families happy and healthy when the weather gets cold. What places do you go in winter that are fun for you and the whole family? How do you stave off cabin fever and stir craziness in your household? Is this even an issue for your family? Well, we want to know what you think, so now's the time to call. The number to do that is 888-KTD-RADIO. That's 888-583-7234. I'm Shanna Sheehy, and today in the studio, I'm joined by two women who know a lot about what's going on around town. Margaret Timmerman works with the Anchorage Parks and Recreation Department. She coordinates many of the outdoor programs offered by the city and can speak to community-wide recreational opportunities inside and out. Thanks so much for being here today, Margaret.
Thank you.
And we also have Michelle Laufer. Michelle is a mom and a pediatrician working locally in Anchorage. She's also the author of Anchorage with Kids. It's a guidebook containing mountains of information all about the things that we can do. And thanks so much to you for being here too, Michelle.
Thank you, Shanna.
Well, let's learn a little bit about each of you before we get going in this conversation. I mentioned, Michelle, that you're a pediatrician and a mom and the author of the book Anchorage with Kids. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about when this book came about and a little update about what's going on now with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I moved to Anchorage in 2001, I was working as a pediatrician, pregnant with my first child, and was asked by families, you know, boy, what do I do when I have my toddlers? And, you know, it's cold outside, and what kind of weather can I go outside in? And how do I need to bundle them? And where can we go? And really, not being from around here, didn't know much, and not having children really certainly didn't understand what it is to be stuck inside a house with young children all winter. I had my first daughter, and eventually after my second daughter, ended up staying home with my children for a number of years. And during that time is when I wrote the book and just started accumulating information that I used for myself and gathered from friends, and because I couldn't find a centralized resource for this sort of information. So just gathered it together and wrote it up. And I went back to work a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, and the last time the book was published was in 2008, so some of the things are out of date in it. So I'm hoping someone else picks up the reins and shows like this become centralized, and your blog become centralized resources for people
And why did you've described sort of where it came from and why it was that you started writing it, but why do you think having it be in a centralized place is important for a busy parent or a parent who's just kind of stuck inside, maybe, or feeling that way?
Well, you know, you're sitting in your house or you're wondering, what can I do? You know, I'm sitting here with my newborn and my three-year-old, and we're stuck in our house. I need to get out. I'd like to be around other parents. I'd like to, you know, have my children be around other children, and where can I go? And some places come to mind, you know, the library, et cetera, and which are fabulous places. And I just sort of wanted all that information, because there must be other options in one location. And the other thing I think putting it all in one location does is sort of highlight for the community, where are we lacking?
Margaret Timmerman, let's hear a little bit about, you know, I said that you work with the Anchorage Parks and Recreation Department and you are involved in outdoor programming. Tell us a little bit about what you do in your position.
Well, right now we're doing the Bonnie Sosa Tuesday Night Running Race Series, and that is an event that's been going on for 43 years. One of the great joys about this running event, I am hesitant to call them races anymore because they've gotten kind of big.
Now, when you say big, do you count how many people come?
Yes, we count the number of people that go through our finish shoot, and last Tuesday, we had 1,070 people who came out on a Tuesday night to do a running event. And About half of that field were what we call munchkins. And munchkins are youth under 12 or those young at heart. So that means we have a lot of families coming out. And what's really exciting for me about this particular event is that we have multi-generations. We have parents, grandparents, who took their children to the Tuesday night races 40 years ago. Their kids grew up doing these events. They're now bringing their children. So the joke is that, you know, we have babies in snugglies who are doing their first race with mommy or daddy as they cross the finish line. And we have one of my all-time favorite runners, Corky Cortrell, who's well over 70, still participating. And so that's one of the things I do. The Tuesday night runs go from the first Tuesday in September to the first Tuesday in November. They were originally designed as the bridge event between summer activities and winter activities. Well, as soon as the running events are over for the fall, I then morph into ski programs. Mm-hmm. And our ski programs are offered for children as young as 4, and again, up to adults of a variety of ages. We have a little Nordic program for 4 and 5-year-olds. We have children's ski lessons for those families that just want a sample. We have adult lessons, and we have a Muni Masters program as well. Again, what we're trying to do is bring people in to parks and recreation events at a young age and have them with us throughout their lives.
And is that why some of these things came to be in the first place? You said that the Tuesday night races have a long history. They're 43 years old. Mm-hmm. Junior Nordic has been going on for quite some time, I imagine.
Yes.
And so were the reason for those events and activities, was it exactly for that reason, to pull in kids when they're young and get families mm-hmm. involved all year mm-hmm. round?
And to have a healthy option. You know, Michelle, as you just said, sitting inside with your 3-year-old all winter long can make mommy bonkers. And this is a way for people to get out. You know, and for example, with our little Nordic ski program, the families come out and meet for an hour. It's not an all-day event because we also realize that little kids and adults get cold. We need to be able to have options.
And there is that social element, too, that Michelle also referred to. If you're getting, you know, you of course, a mom who's going bonkers or a dad who's at home going bonkers could go out and do some skiing for an hour, him or herself. But, mm-hmm. you know, then there's not sort of that camaraderie and that opportunity to meet other parents that you might get if you're doing sort of a more organized event.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I love that when Bonnie Sosa, who was a tremendous advocate for children and activity in Anchorage, she passed away a few years ago. She started Healthy Futures, which helps fund a lot of children to participate in these events. And I loved when they named the Tuesday night races for her. I thought that was very, you know, really personifies what it seems like you guys are trying to do.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't realize there was that history.
Yeah. And actually, it goes back even farther than that. Jim Mahaffey, who started the ski program at Alaska Pacific University, formerly Alaska Methodist University, started the Tuesday night races. Then my mentor, Jerry Walton, continued the Tuesday night races for the municipality for over 30 years. And he trained me. What's really exciting about Jerry is he now has grandchildren, and he has promised me that he's going to bring them to Tuesday night races.
Well, I know I've never been, but now I'm feeling like maybe I should give it a try.
It's super fun.
Come.
Yeah, you should bring your kids. Mm-hmm.
So, Michelle, when you were introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about yourself, you mentioned the library. And we have a sample of what it might sound like if you head out to the library. Kids These Days contributor Jessica Cochran checked out some of the indoor activities that are offered around Anchorage, and she compiled some sound profiles of those for us today. And her first stop was the Lusac Library.
Hey, you want to say hi to Spot?
I'm Sherry Douglas, the Youth Services Coordinator with Anchorage Public Library.
Hello, children. Hello, children. We're glad you came today.
program's called LAPSIT, and it's a reading and language enrichment program for children 3 and under and their caregivers. We do a different theme each week. We utilize a bag of materials that's actually also available for the public to check out.
A little teapot, short and stout. Here is my handle, here is my spout. When I get all steamed up, hear me shout, just tip me over and pour me out.
2 to 3 books. Lots of singing, lots of finger plays, some stretches, and a flannel board activity.
I love bugs. Do you love bugs? This is by Killer Monsters and Sherry Halpern in the pictures. And did any of you take any photographs this summer of bugs?
Because the first 3 years of life are the most important for developing language skills. Their little brains are building those connections, and just trying to really promote reading and singing and talking and using rhyming with kids to help them become lifelong readers.
He caught the mosquito, he caught the flea, he caught the minnow, but he didn't catch me. Shake your hands out. Let's try that one again. Show me your turtle. See your turtle.
It's the funnest part of my week. I'm introducing books that I love to kids and singing. I'll never, ever get paid to sing anywhere else. And it's just a really fun time.
Goodbye, children. Goodbye, children. Goodbye, children. We're glad you came today. We're glad you came today. We're glad you came today.
That was Kids These Days contributor Jessica Cochran speaking with Sherry Douglas at Lusac Library in Anchorage. And I'm giggling with my guests, Margaret Timmerman and Michelle Laufer, today in the studio as we talk about opportunities for families to do things indoors and out as the weather changes. And that was fun. That made me want to go to the library and sit around and read some fun children's books and sing some songs.
You know, I did that, especially with my first daughter. And I remember it was such a good event for so many reasons. It is fabulous for children to be exposed to books and read to. Those bags that they talk about that you can take home really do have, games, books, even videos, toys, and things all about one activity, and you can check them out and bring them home, and they have all sorts of themes. And I remember even just taking my one child and, it'd be like sleet and ice and hail outside, and you're completely feel isolated, and then you park and you drag yourself and your kid across the icy parking lot, and you get inside there and there's all these other parents who just did the same thing. And there was a woman who I remember, she used to bring her twins who were like toddlers, and then her little bit older other child, and I always looked at her and thought, I do not know how she gets herself here, but she does every week. So it was inspiring. It was good camaraderie for me as a parent of a young child to go to those LAPSITs.
Yeah.
There's another option called Story Time with Flowers that Parks and Recreation does, which is a story time at the Man Leisure Greenhouse.
Oh, I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, February. Think of February.
Yeah.
And the greenhouse is just a wonderful place to go. Yeah.
Well, Margaret Timmerman, I am looking here at the Fall 2010 Activity Guide that the Municipality of Anchorage Parks and Recreation Department publishes. And there are lots of different opportunities in there. There's a whole section on indoor fun, outdoor adventure, preschool programs. I'd like you to talk about some of these a little bit more, but I also would like you to let our listeners know where it is that they might find this guide so that they can have one in their own hands.
They can find the guide on our website, which is www.muni.org/parks. And I always recommend that people make a cup of tea before they go to any website.
To calm their nerves so that they can find things without getting too upset about it.
Exactly.
Well, we'll make it easy, too. We will link to that guide from our website at kidsthesedays.org for this program.
Then also our activity guides are distributed through the Daily News, and they generally come out fall about September 1st. Our winter guide, which I always laugh at because, winter starts here in October. But our winter guide comes out in early January, and then our summer guide comes out generally mid-April to early May.
Is there a spring guide, or is that sort
no,
of encompassed
we,
in the
we
winter
We actually
guide?
Tried to consolidate to three times a year okay. because we spend a tremendous amount of time compiling the information to go into the activity guide. And rather, one of my goals in life is rather than spending a lot of time at my desk, I want to spend more time with the community, getting everybody involved in activities.
Well, that's fitting. I know when I called you a couple of times, your message would say, I'm at the Tuesday night races, or, you know, I'll be back tomorrow because I've already left to do this thing and that thing. Mm-hmm. Do you engage with our community a lot when you're out there representing the Parks and Recreation Department and doing your job?
Yes, I do. And that's one of the great joys of it. You know, my job is so wonderfully diverse. I get to coordinate our Kincaid Adventure Camp, which is a program for youth at Kincaid during the summertime. I also work with the Nordic Ski Association, with the McLaughlin Youth Center. We do tree planting. We pull weeds. We are out. You know, I get to work with South Central Foundation. I get to work with all sorts of different groups within our community. So it's I'm very selfish. It's very rewarding for me, but it also is just trying to bring a lot of different groups together so we get to interact and do positive activities.
Well, and tell me also, so you're out there, there are these opportunities for people and families to engage outside and indoors through municipality programs. Mm-hmm. What is the response? What is the usership of these? Are people taking advantage of the programs that are available to them, or is it sort of the same folks who go to everything, would you say?
We do engage a lot of new people, you know, through programs like this, through phone calls, through going to health fairs to get out information. We participate in some of the library events. We're out a lot, you know, because we have budget issues as well within the municipality. That is the continual challenge, is making sure that we can get our message out.
The other thing, people, I encourage people, and I wrote about it a little bit in the book, but popping into the community center, that's yes. the recreation center, the Spinard Rec Center, or whatever is near where you live, mm-hmm. and saying, what, you know, I have a, you know, 5-year-old, what can we do here? You know, I know at Spinard Rec Center, there's a toddler time or whatever it's called, where
yes.
you go and there's balls mm-hmm. and tremendous stuff for mm-hmm. kids to run around in
a
that
carpeted
huge gym,
floor, mm-hmm.
play
mm-hmm.
with, mm-hmm. you know. So there are opportunities, and you may just have to pop in your local area or on the guide and see what's available.
So, Michelle Laufer, in your experience, what do you think would be the easiest way for someone who is looking to do that to find their nearest community center?
Well, there are. Aren't there 4 community centers? Is that right, Margaret?
There's Fairview Recreation Center. There is Spinard Recreation Center. We have Kincaid Outdoor Center and Selkirk Chalet at Russian Jack Springs Park. Mm-hmm. Those are our 4 main facilities.
Okay.
So I think the website, themuni.org, you can look, and then it shows mm-hmm. you on a map where they are.
But you can also, if you don't have computer access or you don't want to sit at your computer, you can pick up the phone and call us.
Okay.
And we're happy to tell you what's going on.
So since we're talking about indoor recreation centers, maybe we can hear from both of you a little bit about what, you know, what are some of the offerings? We have this fall guide here in our studio that we can look at and that people can get online. Can we find out a little bit about what is being offered through those recreational mm-hmm, facilities? Mm-hmm. And then maybe you can hint to some of the things that will happen that might be different for winter, for the winter guide?
You bet.
This is Margaret Timmerman.
Yes. At Spinard Recreation Center, there are a couple of programs that families may enjoy. One called Toddle Time, which is on Tuesdays and on Thursdays at 10:30 in the morning till noon. And that's for families that have children 0 to 2 years old. Then there's also Kinder Gym, which is on Wednesday and Friday at Spinard Rec. And there are 2 different times for that. Wednesday is 12:30 to 2. Friday is 10:30 to noon. And that's designed for children 3 to 5 years old. And both of those programs are getting people into a carpeted room, into the big gym, where they can move. And again, on those, you know, icy January days, these things are a really good option.
And it's okay to bring siblings who are mm-hmm. don't meet those age requirements.
Right. Then at Fairview Recreation Center, there are a number of things that happen as well. There's a girls' circle that happens on Mondays from 5 to 6:30, and that's a partnership with the Y, and it's for girls ages 13 to 19 to talk about stuff. What are my dreams? What's going on in my life?
And is that facilitated by someone from the YWCA?
Yes, it is. You know, some other indoor activities that are available starting on Saturday, October 2nd, we have indoor archery out at Kincaid in the Wax Bunker, also known as the Annex. It's been called the Wax Bunker longer than the Annex, though.
What age is that for?
That is for ages 8 and over. Parents must accompany their kids, but that's a free event, and that's indoors as well because the weather can be kind of dicey, October, November. So there are just a lot of options available for families.
And some programs that the municipality offers are free of charge, and then some do have a charge. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And those things are listed pretty clearly in the guide.
Yes,
so
they
you'll
are.
Know for sure before you go. Well, Michelle Laufer, let's talk. I'd like you to speak a little bit. We've been talking a lot about some of the municipal programs, of which there are many, and they're really exciting and fun. But your book, Anchorage with Kids, details many things municipality-related, and in addition to that, you know, private businesses and other things that are going on. And I like that you have this chapter that's called Cures for Cabin Fever. And I'm wondering, what are some of the things that you yourself, and then, you know, in your research, really stood out as great things to do as a cure for cabin fever?
Well, I think that it really depends on your budget. Certainly, the municipal and library offerings are the most economical, and many of those are free. Another place that has no charge that kids are really entertained by is the Public Lands Information Center, the Alaska Public Lands Information Center downtown, which really has wonderful displays and educational little activities for children to do as they move around the center. And, you know, it's indoors, and there's no charge associated with that. Municipal also that we didn't talk about, but of course there's the open swim times at the pools, and I wish there was funding for more open swim times. I think that's something where everybody agrees that we need more.
Yeah, and swimming is something with kids that, you know, I notice in my own family life that it's something that we really have to make a priority. We've got to go to the pool, and we need to do it regularly so that our children know how to swim, because it's really easy to go about your life in Anchorage and really rarely get in the water.
You know, it is, and the wait lists even for swim lessons through some of the municipal programs are tremendously long. So I agree. I struggle with my kids. My younger two, I don't feel confident about their swimming yet, and I feel the pressure to get that going. The YMCA, you know, has open swim times as well as swim lessons. There is a fee, but it's less than, for instance, if you had to join the Alaska Club and you know, swim there. Certainly the libraries, books, the bookstores have story times. Those story times are free. Tidal Wave, Barnes & Noble, Borders all have children's story times aimed at different age children. And I love that there's one at the Greenhouse. Certainly the museums are fabulous to visit at any time. I love, and the new Imaginarium at the Anchorage Museum is so much fun. And really, it kids of any age, I mean, including adults, can be entertained there. And for younger children, there's sort of a play area with little interactive toys and books and things that that is very entertaining. And I wish we had when my children were younger.
And as Michelle Laufer just mentioned, this past year, the Imaginarium Discovery Center opened in the newly expanded Anchorage Museum. That's the next stop on Jessica Cochran's tour of things to do inside with kids.
My name is Sarah Henning. I'm the public relations manager at the Anchorage Museum. Right now, we're standing in the Imaginarium Discovery Center. There are more than 80 exhibits in here having to do with science, and all of them have some sort of hands-on component. It's a very kid-friendly, family-friendly space. And although a lot of exhibits are designed for younger ones, we find Grandma and Grandpa enjoy them just as much.
This gallery is the kinetics gallery, so a lot of it involves motion. Just the laws of motion, even, you know, how an object reacts. Every time a force is applied, an object moves, basically. And so all the way you apply those forces affects how that object is reacting. And so there's just a lot of different ways of experimenting with applying force and changing directions. And it's called the Bernoulli blower. Let's say that again. Bernoulli blower. It focuses on the Bernoulli principle, which is basically what makes airplanes fly. It's the movement of air around a curved surface. And when it goes around a curved surface, it creates an area where the air moves faster, and that creates a lower pressure. So underneath, the air is moving at that same rate. So it's creating an area of higher pressure compared to the top, so that higher pressure is able to push up the ball, in this case, or in the case of an airplane, the airplane wing. So in this one, this is the shake table challenge. This is where you actually get to build different structures. You can do different shapes, directions, sizes, and you can build a tower as well. And then you can choose from different earthquakes. These are the actual shake patterns of different earthquakes, and you can test how your structure reacts to it. So if it's able to hold and stand, or if it kind of collapses into a pile of...
I know that a lot of parents make a beeline for the Imaginarium, and it is a great place for kids. But just a reminder that more and more, if you explore the rest of the museum, in other exhibits, we're doing as much as we can to create hands-on experiences that children can really engage with the subject matter of the various exhibits.
Jessica Cochran spoke with Sarah Henning and science educator Renee Bookman at the Imaginarium. This is Kids These Days on this listener-supported station. This hour, we're talking about what families, young people, and the community as a whole can do to keep having fun when it gets cold outside. We'll be back in the studio with our guests, Michelle Laufer and Margaret Timmerman, and your calls and comments. And we'll get tips from teens about what they're doing to recreate inside. That and ideas from AK On The Go. That's after this break.
Really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you
so
drop in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
my
ice.
Mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your
and
hurry?
Father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace roar.
So really I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't
well,
hurry.
Well, maybe just a half a drink
put
more.
Put some records on while I pour.
The neighbors might think.
But baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlight
to break
now.
The spell.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks swell.
I ought to say no, no,
mind
no,
if
sir.
I move in closer?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
That's the sense of hurting my pride.
I really can't stay.
Oh, baby, don't hold out, baby.
Ah, but it's cold outside.
Next time on Kids These Days, we're talking about a new effort to combat the ongoing tragedy of domestic violence and sexual assault in Alaska. Meet Alaska's new domestic violence and sexual assault response coordinator, Katie Tipas, as she and Sergeant Cindy Stanton of the APD join us in the studio. Both will talk about the goal of ending domestic violence and sexual assault in our state in the next decade. Can it be done? How do you think we can truly tackle this issue? Lend your voice to the conversation by calling Kids These Days at 1-888-KTD-RADIO. That's 888-583-7234. Or email your comments to mail@kidsthesedays.org. Also, we'll learn about local resources for families who need help and about a related youth outreach media campaign. So tune in next time to Kids These Days on KSKA, Tuesdays at 2 and again at 7 p.m. I'm I'm your host, Shanna Sheehy, and this is Kids These Days on this listener-supported station. Today, we're talking about things to do inside and out as the weather gets colder, and we're looking for opportunities. So what are Anchorage teens doing inside during the winter? Well, Kids These Days producer Sarah Gonzalez went to Service High School to find out. She talked with a bunch of kids from 9th grade through 12th, and here's what she found out.
Hi, my name is Marquise Robinson. I'm 16 years old and I'm a sophomore at Service High School.
What do you like to do indoors for fun in the winter, Marquise?
Well, usually around wintertime, that's when the basketball season starts. And so me and my friends, we go to the gym, or most of the time we're just busy with basketball. So that's where I hang out with my friends at.
So are you on the basketball team here at Service High School?
Yes, I am. I play varsity.
My name is Leandra Joseph and I'm 17 years old. In the winter, indoors, I definitely love to go shopping. And the malls are usually where all of the young people are at, hanging out, watching movies, or just going shopping. So that's where you'll find me definitely in the winter, indoors.
Which mall do you go to?
I go to Fifth Avenue, mostly, during the winter.
Okay, so, and even if you don't shop, do you just kind of hang out there?
Yeah, like just walking around or window shopping, just being around like everyone in the mall is cool with me.
I'm Ryan. I'm 14. I go to Service High School, and I'm a freshman.
Ryan, what do you do indoor in the winter for fun?
I usually, you know, hang out with my family or friends, or I just, you know, play games and have fun, try to.
My name's Jonah Rendon. I'm 16. I'd say workout, basically. Just do all types of lifts. Yeah, Williams is my home.
Where do you work out, here at high school or at a gym?
I work out basically here at Service High School with the team or with a couple of friends, or I go to the last club.
Are you in sports? Is that why you like to work out?
Yeah, I'm a football player, varsity football player at Service High School.
I'm Paul Bannis, 16, junior at Service High School. In the winter, I like to go to base and play basketball or work out.
Is your family in the military?
Yes, my brother.
Hi, I'm Tessa. I'm 17. I'm a senior at Service.
Tessa, what do you like to do indoors during the winter?
Well, usually I go to Fifth Avenue with my friends, or I go to Century 16. Those are both good places.
So you go to the mall and you go to the movies?
Yeah, it sounds pretty commonplace, I know.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm 17.
Sarah, what do you do indoors for fun in the winter?
I hang out with friends and watch movies at our houses.
I'm Griffin, I'm 16, I'm a junior, I go to Service.
Griffin, what do indoors for fun during the winter?
Well, you can go to the Alaska Club, which is actually pretty cool because it's all cold outside, but you go and you hot tub, you steam room, you come out and it's really cold, but you know, it's cool because you're inside and you're warm.
My name's Carmichael, I'm 17, and I'm a senior at Service High School. I go to this indoor skate park called Zach's Boardroom.
So you skateboard inside during the winter?
Yeah, it's an indoor skate park.
I'm Marielle, I'm 17, I'm a senior at Service High School.
Well, I usually hang out with my family because I can't really go anywhere, so that's pretty much it.
Why can't you go anywhere?
Well, my parents are strict, so, and it's plus in the winter I can't drive.
Okay, it's too dangerous with the snow to drive?
Yeah.
So what do you do at home with your family?
We usually like watch movies, or we hang out at my cousin's house or my uncle's house at parties.
My name's Nicole, I'm 18, and I am a senior at Service High School.
Nicole, what do you do for fun inside during the winter?
I do yoga. I like doing yoga with my family and my friends. We just hang out at my house and do yoga.
Is there anything else that you do inside during the winter?
I usually go over to my friend's house and play games, on the Wii. We dance and, yeah.
Oh, my name is Colleen. I'm 17. I usually babysit my cousins. And I can't really go out with my friends during wintertime, so.
Why can't you go out with your friends in the winter?
My family is busy and stuff, so they need someone to babysit my little siblings, so I'm babysitting them, and yeah.
Is that fun for you?
No. And I watch TV too with with the little kids.
Hi, my name is Nico.
And I'm a freshman.
Nika, what do you like to do indoor for fun during the winter?
Sleep and stuff and eat and sleep some more.
I'm Corey. I'm 17. I go to Service High School.
Corey, what do you do for fun indoors during the winter?
I like to go bowling a lot.
Bowling? Where do you go bowling?
Center Bowl.
Okay, is that a popular activity with teenagers and your friends?
Not at all.
Who do you go bowling with?
Usually Griffin, my friend Griffin, and my girlfriend Lauren.
Okay, because Griffin said that he liked to go to the Alaska Club and sit in the steam room in the winter.
I could see that.
So that's our producer, Sarah Gonzalez, talking with a whole bunch of Service High School students. And we heard a whole lot of answers, some that were repeated, like movies and TV and malls and stuff like that. And then some ones like bowling that maybe at least these kids thought weren't so common.
I think that highlights that it's not just us parents of young children who feel isolated in the house in the winter, you know? Some of those kids say they can't get out in the winter because for car or transportation reasons. So,
and this may seem like an obvious question, but it's like, what is it about feeling stuck inside that makes us, many of us, feel this urge to just find something to do elsewhere, outside or indoors or, you know, with other people? Do you have any perspective on that, Michelle Laufer?
Well, you know, I guess I feel like when it comes to my children, I personally did not grow up in a cold weather area. So the whole concept of this preparing to get outside and purchasing and finding all the appropriate gear for all these activities, which it's taken me living here 10 years to really sort of gather how important that is. And especially then when you have younger children and it gets really expensive. So I was going to mention that in preparing in not just staying inside with your children over the winter, keeping your ear out for the gear swaps that happen throughout the year. I know there's a big one at West High, and some of the different ski clubs put them on, but keeping your eye out for gear swaps and, you know, secondhand children's warm clothes are fine, you know, from Once Upon a Child or some of the used children's clothing or trading with friends, because it does get overwhelming and expensive to keep your children outfitted.
Yeah, often there's a lot of prep time to get out the door.
It takes more time. I always estimated about 15 minutes per child if you have to get that child ready. So if you have two children, it takes you more time to get outside than you will actually spend outside. But that's okay. You know, you just sort of have to embrace it.
Yeah, and there are some options on that, you know, like the Selkrig Chalet at Russian Jack Springs Park, like Kincaid Outdoor Center, where you can do a combination. One parent can go out and go sledding with their child for a while, and there's an indoor space that's often available as well. And yeah, I'm coaching Little Nordic. When parents have more than one child in Little Nordic, it'll take half an hour to get out. You know, it's a long prep time. But once they are out, they're having some fun. Spinard Recreation Center and Fairview Recreation Center also have weight rooms and gyms for lower fees, you know, than some of our other clubs
options,
in town.
Right, yeah. Right. So these are community center based.
They're community center
weight rooms,
based,
workout rooms, even basketball courts as well, right?
Right. Basketball courts as well. And oftentimes youth under 12 don't have a fee for coming into the rec center. They do have to be accompanied by their parent or an adult.
And another, you know, there's the Dome, which you can go as an individual into the Dome, and there are times both for families with young children under age 6, and you can bring your strollers, and the kids can bring their frisbees and their tricycles and things. Again, a fee associated, but it is indoor, warm.
And the Dome is an indoor giant field?
Yeah,
that right?
It's a full-size track with fields in the middle, and sometimes it sounds like you can get on the field. Sometimes you're limited to the track, but if you look online and just search the Dome Anchorage, it comes up. And you can find out the times and fees associated with that.
I know one thing that my family and I created as an indoor way of getting out and getting active is to go to public buildings, like, for example, public campuses, I should say, like
UAA, and we park at one end and go in and then just go for a hike, and I'll pack a lunch. And when we get all the way through all the buildings, because they're all connected, we'll sit down. Actually, we like to sit down in the swimming pool in the bleachers because it's warm in there.
Yeah.
We call it the
and
beach.
Moist, yeah.
The beach. And we eat our lunch and then we head back. And that's something that I have little kids, so that's, you know, fun for them. But it's kind of a nice way to get out and go for a hike inside. And then there's staircases and all sorts of different nooks and crannies that you can explore, and lots of fun people to run into and talk to as well. I have friends who are active service members that you can get on post if you have access to it. They have some indoor centers too. One is called Arctic Oasis, and it's a giant indoor playground that's really fun. It's got one of those soft sort of rubber type floors. There's lots of game rooms and different ways for young kids. And then if your kids are old enough to sort of stay contained on their own, there are places that the parents can work out and watch the play center.
I love that they have that. They have treadmills set up. So,
yeah,
you know, and then of course there are the private businesses in town, the Bounce and Bears and Bounce and Pump It Up.
Pump It Up, right.
Where you can, for a fee, go in and let your kid run like mad and jump. And, you know, there's Arctic Playgrounds, which was started locally by some moms to meet this need for families with young children. Again, a small fee to get in, but healthy food, good food, and a place for young children to play.
And since we're talking about some of these places around town that are private businesses, Jessica Cochran's son, who she's our Kids These Days regular contributor, he's obsessed with wheels, like on scooters or bikes or skateboards. And so her tour of these indoor places around town included a stop at Phase One. It's an indoor skate park in South Anchorage.
Hi, my name's Rick Quattawam. Me and my wife own a Phase One. My kids love to skateboard, so we decided that we were trying to figure out what we could do for, you know, our kids, and then the need kept, people kept asking for us to open one because we kept talking about it. And then finally this opportunity came up and we took it over and we opened it up in July.
Now I get to come here every single day and skateboard. It's fun.
Monday through Thursday from 3 to 7, and Friday and Saturday we open up from 1 o'clock till 9 o'clock at night, and then again on Sunday we're open, and we're open up from 1 to 7 on Sundays. We have all ages, but average age is anywhere from 7 to 18. Coming in pretty regularly.
Now if you land it, that's huge.
And he's loving this. I mean, he just eats this up every day.
It's awesome. No, it's not getting kicked out of any place. If you're like skating, you know, some stair set, and you often get kicked out. So it's a good place not to get kicked out.
This is adult ran. It is not kid ran. It's me and my wife run it. So we're here all the time. So therefore, we keep track of what's going on at all times. We want parents to feel that they can come in and drop their kid off, and that their kid's going to be safe. That's why we do it. That's why we're here.
That's Jessica Cochran speaking with Phase One owner Rick Quattlebaum and some of his customers at Phase One Skate Park. The park hopes to expand its space for the winter, and you can find Phase One on Facebook if you're interested. This is Kids These Days on this listener-supported station. This hour, we're talking about what families, young people, and the community as a whole can do to keep having fun when it gets cold outside, with our guests, Michelle Laufer and Margaret Timmerman.
The zoo, Margaret reminded me, is great all year, and that with their new education center, I suspect there are going to be more combined indoor-outdoor activities. But bundling your kid and going to the zoo and, you know, getting popcorn and whatever, they can run around and walk around and then attend an indoor activity is another is another great option.
I had a friend mention that she gets a pass to the zoo and that they really like to go in the winter a lot, maybe not more so, but just as much as they do in the summer, partially because they keep the trail around around the zoo so well-groomed that it's, you know, really easy walking and really easy strolling and so forth, even if there's snow on the ground.
It is. It's a great place with kids in the winter. We almost preferred it in the winter. In summer, there's a lot more tourists and things, but in the winter, you've pretty much got it to yourself. It's fabulous.
Do the animals act differently in the winter than they do in the summer? Are they any more or less active in your
experience? Some are more or less visible. You know, some aren't out in the winter. I don't know, since they've moved towards all Alaska animals, maybe it's a
little different. The wolves were definitely more active in the winter.
Oh.
You know, simply because the temperatures are cooler, you know.
Well, excellent. And in your research, do you know if there's a place, like, can you go to the Alaska Zoo online and find out when children's programs are offered or any specialty programmings?
Yep, they have a website, and I don't know the exact website.
Well, we'll find it for you, and we'll link to it from kidsthesedays.org.
I was going to also mention the ice skating indoors. Again, that's active. Older school-age kids, you know, love to ice skate. There are some open municipal times and certainly lessons through municipality. There's, you know, the Diamond Center. There's a lot of open time at the Diamond Center with an associated cost. And then the Westchester Lagoon, as winter comes and the lagoon freezes and that's hot mopped, that's such a great place.
We
go there a lot.
There are some other locations as well that are hot mopped, like Cheney Lake. Mm-hmm. So there can be some things close to your neighborhood that you can perhaps walk to.
Yeah. And at Westchester, they maintain, or there can be burn barrels. There are burn barrels some ways of having some diversion as well, like in addition to the skating part.
Yeah, right. Bringing hot chocolate, and there's the burn barrel, and can make a day of it.
Do either of you guys know how it is that the choices are made about how those tracks will be plowed on the lake? Because they are always different every year, whether or not they, you know, intersect in different places or twist or turn or how many there are. And I've always wondered who gets to make those decisions.
Is it the snowplow driver?
That's
a good question. I think a lot of that is determined by what activities are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
At Westchester Skate, there's often the speed skating club that comes down and does some demos and some races. And so those lanes and trails may change seasonally.
Which reminds me of the new oval right next to the library. That speed skate. That is so fun.
And Cuddy Park in general is just beautifully maintained, which brings us to another thing. Cuddy Park has great trails through it.
Mm-hmm.
We have Chester Creek Greenbelt. We have the Tony Knowles Coastal Trail that are multi-use trails. We have a number of multi-use trails in town along Taku Lake, the Campbell Creek Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And again, those are connecting the neighborhood so that you can get out and, you know, for 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes. So you can get out for a walk, take a look around, and then go back in and have story time and hot chocolate.
We have covered very many things to get people started and to let families and parents and the community in general know what is offered out there for people in South Central Alaska during the winter months, now that fall is upon us. Is there anything else, Michelle Laufer, that you would like to bring up this hour?
No, I just think it's great if people would contribute to these centralized areas so we can all share our information and ideas.
And you did mention that on kidsthesedays.org, we do have a place to do that. We've already started some conversations. What you do is you go to kidsthesedays.org, find our discuss tab, and from there you can look at conversations that people and users are having where we talk about things like where are good places to play inside and out all year long in South Central. Well, I'd like to say thank you to our two guests today. We have Margaret Timmerman in the studio. She works with the Anchorage Parks and Rec Department. Thanks so much for being here, Margaret.
And thank you.
And Michelle Laufer, who is a doctor and a mom and also the author of Anchorage with Kids.
Thanks, Shanna.
Thanks for being here. And just a quick note, Michelle Laufer has signed on as this program's Dr. Kids These Days. She'll be available to respond to general questions related to health and your kids. So let us know what you're wondering. Write to mail@kidsthesedays.org and put Dr. Kids These Days or Dr. KTD in the subject line. And her will be featured occasionally right here on this program. Thanks so much to both of you for being here today. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks for the show.
Yeah, and thank you.
Kids These Days is pleased today to have the first in a series of contributions from Erin Kirkland. Erin is a local mom who's known for her blog, AK On The Go. There, she explores all sorts of ways families can have fun in the 49th state. Today, she's got some practical advice on how you can do just that without going very far from home at all.
Hi, I'm Erin Kirkland, AK On The Go mom. We've talked a lot this hour about indoor family fun during Alaska's long winter season, but what about outdoors? The 49th state offers Mother Nature's best from October through April, and AK On The Go wants to share it with you. Yes, we know it can seem an exercise in futility to spend 2 hours dressing kids for every one spent outside during the cooler months. We would, in fact, be first to raise our hands and shout amen in testament to the number of times AK Kid has begged to play in the yard, only to come beating on the front door shrieking, "I have to go to the bathroom!" It's enough to make even the most patient parents give up. But we don't, and you shouldn't either, because spending an Alaskan winter watching snowfall from the comfort of a backcountry yurt or listening to a yipping, yowling team of sled dogs readying themselves for a day spent on the trail can easily immerse your family within the spirit of Alaska's essence. Where do we like to go when the temperature drops? The bowl, baby. Anchorage is a treasure chest of golden outdoor family fun. No schlepping required. In fact, with 200-plus miles of light-infused, groomed-to-perfection trails, who wouldn't want to bundle up and give it a go? Like skiing or snowshoeing some wintry evening. Russian Jack Springs Park is a perfect place for a little nighttime exploration with kids. What's required? Warm clothes, skis or snowshoes, a headlamp, and a lot of imagination. Ordinary becomes extraordinary as lamps cast shadows on the trail ahead, and trees wave their ghostly hands in a whispery welcome. Look for animal tracks and the critters who belong to them. Snowshoe hares and moose are part of our children's world. Allow them to enter with confidence. Bigger kids can create a scavenger hunt of sorts, making a search for ordinary items a challenge for even the most intrepid tween. Try identifying a black spruce tree covered with fresh snow at 7:30 in the evening, huh? Pack a thermos of hot chocolate and sip it under the stars, watching tendrils of steam curl around your children's ruddy little faces. Finish up by having a race back to the parking lot for a warm and toasty ending on an evening to remember. Don't have snowshoes or skis? Many Anchorage retailers sell both at a reasonable price, and REI even offers a season-long rental for the whole family. Don't worry about looking cool, parents. It's the time that matters, not the brand. Just be there. This has been Erin Kirkland, AK On The Go Mom, for Kids These Days.
You can find Erin online at her website, akonthego.com. Along with lots of tips for getting out and around with the whole family, Erin posts fun Friday updates each week detailing family-friendly events going on around town. She'll be sharing those with Kids These Days each week. Find them at her site or on ours at kidsthesedays.org on Fridays. Jessica Cochran, Erin Kirkland, and Sarah Gonzalez contributed to today's show. Kids These Days is produced by Sarah Gonzalez. Mind Over Matthew composed and performed our theme music. You can find Kids These Days online all the time by going to kidsthesedays.org. Continue the conversation there. Hear from other parents through our discuss link. Listen to the program or pieces of it again. Or let us know what you think we should be talking about by getting in touch through our contact form. Once again, this is Kids These Days, and I'm your host, Shanna Sheehy. Thanks for listening and for being a part of the community. Join us again next time.
We ideas, opinions, and commentary you hear on Kids These Days are those of the host, guests, and contributors, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of its funders or broadcast partners. The Content Producers Guild is solely responsible for what you hear on this program. Kids These Days is made possible by a generous grant from the Association of Alaska School Boards and its Initiative for Community Engagement. Kids These Days is produced in partnership with KSKA, KRUA, and the UAA Department of Journalism and Public Communications.